The scripture reading this morning is a scripture that speaks of an era in which the people of God had been ravaged by war, exiled from their homeland, and brought as captives to a country that they had always feared and despised. This is poetry from Psalm 137. I'm going to read the first four verses. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? An American woman was recently invited to Egypt to visit some Christians there and to see with her own eyes the devastation that they have been experiencing in recent weeks. The woman was Lorenza Andrade Smith, who, as I mentioned last week, focuses her ministry on learning from and advocating for people who live on the streets. In this case, she was going to be witness to the loss of homes and also the loss of businesses of people who had been, until this disaster struck, an integral part of the community. Lorenza had been to Egypt once before in her life, and as she anticipated this trip, she pictured herself finally getting the opportunity to actually walk down to the Nile River and touch its flowing waters. Her first trip, as it happens, had not brought her into direct contact with the Nile, and that was a flaw that she wanted to remedy. Knowing that the Nile River from ancient times has been a river sacred to countless generations of people, Lorenza was eager to have her own interaction with it, maybe to wade into it or scoop up some water with her hand or splash it to sparkling into the air. This is what she pictured ahead of time when she imagined herself coming to the banks of the Nile. But as the trip unfolded, when the moment actually came that she was close enough to the Nile River that just a few more steps and a scramble down an embankment would get her there, she was too paralyzed with exhaustion to move. The exhaustion was primarily emotional and spiritual, but it had left her physically weak. And the cause of this exhaustion was the shocking evidence of violence that she had been shown by her new Egyptian friends, who are suffering the consequences of their country's governmental and civic breakdown. In many Egyptian cities and towns, animosity has flared up in dire ways as people focus on distinctions rather than on common concerns. Enemies are being defined and blamed, and the desire for retribution is being exercised unchecked. The type of scene that Lorenza was witnessing is described in this news report. The streets are lined with burned out hulks that once were cars. Church interiors have been reduced to ash. The once cheerful exterior of a Christian orphanage is now streaked black from the fire that gutted it. Destroyed wheelchairs sit outside the remains of a Jesuit center that worked with disabled people. Torched schools, shops, and monasteries lie in ruins. Having walked those very streets and met and talked with people who experienced the assaults and the fires that had been initiated and ignited by their own neighbors, Lorenza was stunned. She was now standing near the river, which represented life and divine spirit, but she was too hopeless to actually go toward it. Her condition was similar to that of the person who wrote, by the rivers of a distant land, there we sat down, and there we wept as we remembered our heart's true home. On the trees alongside the river, we hung up our instruments. We would make no more music. Those who had done so much to harm us, who had taken away our freedom, who seemed to delight in our suffering, demanded that we sing. You're famous for your choruses and your energetic rhythms, they taunted us. Let us hear one of your rousing melodies. How could we sing? How could we sing praise and worship to the God we love and serve when we were in a place so unrecognizable, so alien, so shocking, so wrong? How could Lorenza feel motivated to get herself down to the river when she was so overwhelmed with the horror of what she had seen, as well as with its distressing implications for the dream, for the prayer that human beings of different cultural and ethnic backgrounds, different economic strategies, and different religious identities might one day be able to live together fully in peace? She could not muster the energy. She stood within sight of the river, talking quietly to a young girl. And out of the corner of her eye, she noticed, almost without seeing it, that a young man was diving into the river. And she vaguely noticed, as he swam several strokes and then rolled over and floated on his back for a while, that he got out of the water and scrambled up the bank. Now he was coming directly toward her, still dripping with river water. Lorenza began to watch closely. It turns out the young man came right up to her because he was the older brother of this girl that she was talking to. And so the girl made the introductions. Lorenza, this is my brother. Brother, this is Lorenza. And the young man leaned close, put his arm around Lorenza in a gesture of greeting. His head came near, and drops of water, fresh from the Nile River, fell onto her face and soaked into her clothing. As soon as she felt the water's coolness, she understood what was happening. I could not get myself to the river, she says as she remembers that moment. So God was bringing the river to me. That young man was God's agent, bringing the river, bringing the droplets of life and of hope. Such is God's faithfulness. When we cannot get ourselves to the river, God brings the river to us. When we've experienced so much trouble and heartache that we can no longer even recall what grace feels like, let alone how to open ourselves to receive it, God finds a way to rain precious drops down upon our heads. God does not want our hope or our energy or our love of life to dry up and blow away. God has all kinds of methods of reminding us that we are treasured sons and daughters. When we cannot move our feet another step, God's mercy is still seeking us. When that mercy touches us, we are reminded of our purpose and encouraged not to give up life and hope. If you were to read the rest of Psalm 137, you would see how easy and how common it is for anguish in the human heart to give birth to hatred and to the desire for vengeance. The scriptures do not hide or cover up our worst tendencies. They are voiced here from time to time, and everyone is able to see and admit these feelings do crop up within us. But God, all the while, is trying to offer us something better. From the Old Testament, which affirms that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and God's mercies never come to an end, to the Newer Testament, which urges followers of Jesus to baptize freely among all people in Christ's name, we are assured that God is eagerly inviting us to choose life and forgiveness and respectful living and shalom for all. life, not desolation, forgiveness, not revenge. So strongly does God desire health and salvation for all the earth, rather than an endless cycle of injury and despair, that God is willing to bring the river to us. That's why Jesus came, to bring us the river. Jesus came into the world because we had forgotten where that river even was or how to access it, and he brings the river of God's grace and love into our lives in visible form. That's also why we become part of the church, because the church, this church and every other church, is meant by the power of Christ to be the visible place where the river of grace pools up and people are allowed the opportunity to bathe in its waters for the sake of their healing and hope. When we become part of the church, we become variously witnesses and signposts saying, "Here's the water," and simultaneously bucket carriers or conveyor belts conveying God's grace and love out to those who've gotten stuck in some barren, lonely, or arid place. Could there be any greater joy and privilege than being the one who gets to come dripping with the light and the mercy of God to embrace a new friend or a fellow traveler who desperately longs for encouragement, companionship, refreshment, and relief? As members of the body of Christ, our calling is to immerse ourselves in the sacred river of God's love, and then to jump out and move swiftly toward those who have gotten landlocked at some distance from the shore. The water of peace and of kindness that we bring with us, soaked into our clothes, streaming from our hair, beaded up on our skin, has the potential to make a miraculous difference in the lives of those we meet and touch. Lorenza, please note, is not still standing desolate and lost someplace in Egypt. God, by means of that young swimmer, brought her the river. She experienced a moment of great delight and recovered her purpose and was able to go on. She came back from Egypt, still clinging to hope and still herself eager to share God's merciful grace with a confused and hurting world. Our opportunity to float on the river of light, to drink in God's grace for our own lives, is here and now. It's this time of prayer, this time of Holy Communion, which makes our spirits strong and well and prepares us to be Christ's ministers in the world. And so in these moments, we welcome God to come and fill our hearts.